Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Well, praise God. I'm going to talk about how to get God's favor in your life. It's a subject that I really love because it's good to have God's favor. But before I get started, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being amongst us, Father, because your word says where two or three are gathered together, your name, you're in the midst. And you said also, Lord, whatever we ask in agreement, you would do. So, Father, we agree that your presence would overtake us, not just be in this place, but overtake us. Why? Because we need it, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. And God, you can do miracles, and we expect miracles. It doesn't have to be before service. It doesn't have to be during praise and worship. It can be while I'm speaking, God. It can be afterward. But God, it doesn't matter to us. Just move by your Spirit upon us, because we need you. We are desperate for you, God. We hunger and we thirst for you, oh God. And we can do nothing without you anyhow. So God, move in this place. Even now, let your Spirit, God, breathe upon our hearts. Revive us. Take us to a greater level in you, Father God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. How to have God's favor on your life. First, I want to talk about the difference between grace and God's favor. I remember Pastor Harvey said a couple of years ago, and this is what he said about it. He says, grace is something free. When you receive Jesus Christ, you have God's grace. As a matter of fact, if you are alive, whether you're saved or not, it's the grace of God that you're alive. Sometimes people, you know, they get maybe in a car accident, and they're not even Christians. And no one knows how they made it out of this accident. I mean, sometimes the car is just total. And the police officers and the ambulance will come and say, man, we just don't know how you made it out of that. Unscratched. That's the grace of God, you see. So everybody has the grace of God. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we get a little bit more of that grace. We give that kind of grace that saves us from sin, saves us from hell. And that's a good grace to have. Everybody, God wants everybody to be saved and nobody to perish and go to hell. But favor is a little bit different. And this is what Pastor Harvey said. Grace is something that's free, but favor is something that you have to earn. Now, that's a little bit different because we're so used to not having to work for anything. Favor comes from I've got to check back here and make sure I got this mic on. Favor comes from being obedient to God's word. So it's always a good thing to have God's favor on your life. Praise the Lord. So how can we get God's favor on our lives? I got 5 points, okay? The first point is we have to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with a whole heart. And let's go to the scriptures because it's all in the word. Jeremiah 29:13, and it's up there. It says, this is what God says. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So just not part of your heart, just not half-heartedly, you know, but with your whole heart. if I was to seek God half-heartedly, I would probably just get up in the morning time and say, okay, God, I pray that you watch over me, my family, my friends, bless my day today. And Lord, I just thank you and give you glory, honor, and praise. And then I'm done. I just pray protection over myself, over my family, my friends, and that's it. But I didn't spend no time with seeking after God with a whole heart. I didn't even hardly say anything about him. I gave him glory and honor, but it was almost just kind of like just out of my lips. And sometimes we as Christians, we do that. I mean, it's good to pray anyhow. Even if you're going to pray a little bit, it's always good to pray. But to get God's favor on our lives, we've got to seek God with our whole heart. Let's go to another scripture, 1 Chronicles 16:10. And it says, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Now you hear, see here, first in Jeremiah, the Lord says, if you seek me, I'm going to bless you. How am I going to bless you? If you seek me, you will find me. God doesn't say, seek me and then run and hide. And then we can't find him. Now, of course, sometimes it seems as though he's hiding. Because we're praying and asking and seeking God, and we don't hear no answer. But that's only because God wants us to persevere. He wants us to be persistent. He's like, do you really want me? If you really want me, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on seeking after me. And I always say that it seems like God likes to play hide and seek. Because he says in his word, if you seek me, you will find me. But when we first go to seek him, we can't find him. But we have to continually seek him, and then we will find him. So the first blessing of favor is that we will find him. The second one is that we will rejoice. We will rejoice. Hallelujah. And then let's go to 2 Chronicles 31:21. I really like this. Actually, I'm going to read. That's not it right now. But it goes, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law, in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. This is talking about Hezekiah. Hezekiah, look what he did. In the law and in the commandment, he sought to seek his God with all of his heart. And what's the favor there? Prosper. Prosperity. So the first one is we are able to find God. The second one, we rejoice, and then we prosper. Some of us will say, man, that's enough. First, we can find God, because everybody really wants God. Everybody's always looking for God. And when you can find him, boy, it's a great thing. And then now he says, and you're able to rejoice. Now we can rejoice because we found God. But on top of that, he says, now you're going to prosper. And we're like, man, that's kind of like a threefold blessing. You know, that's enough for a lot of us. But see, God is like the song we sang. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. And I have here in Psalms 34:10, he says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. They sure do. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Wow. Okay, so we find God. We rejoice, we prosper in life, and now we don't lack any good thing. It's good to lack bad things. Lord, I want to lack bad things. But to not lack anything good, that's God's favor. That's powerful, not to lack anything good. You get that when you seek God with a whole heart, not half-heartedly, but with a whole heart, because we're trying to get things that are good in our own strength. We work hard. We're looking and we're searching to get things that are good. But God has it all. All we have to do is with a whole heart seek him. And we will not lack anything good. Here's another one. Psalms 119:2. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart, the whole heart. God keeps saying the whole heart. Seek me with your whole heart. Now he says you will be blessed. And many of us would say, but what's the difference? First of all, we find God. That's such a blessing. And we rejoice. That's a blessing. We prosper. That's a blessing. We will not lack any good thing. And now he's saying that you'll be blessed. How much more, God, are you going to do for us? How much more are you going to do for us? Let me go on before I say what I was going to say. Lamentations 3:25. This is one of my memory verses. I like this. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Ah, that's one of my greatest verses. The Lord is good. Why? Because I know the Lord is good to me. I don't deserve a lot of things. And God, he blesses me. He does all kind of things for me that I don't even expect. And it was, probably around 5 or maybe 7 years ago, I had to come to these words. And I just said, God, you're good to Annis Faye. Because, you know, I don't deserve a lot of these different things, but you're just good to me. And I thank you for being good to me. And I didn't understand why he was good to me. He was good to me because I have the favor of the Lord on my life. I didn't recognize it then. But then, you know, a couple of years, I'm just like, man, God is so good to me. Why? Because I love to seek after him with a whole heart, not a half heart, a whole heart. Praise God. Of course, in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So he says we're not going to lack any good thing. Now he's saying all these things shall be added to you. What are all these things? Well, at that time, Jesus was telling them, you don't have to worry about the food you eat. You don't have to worry about your clothes. You don't have to worry about all of the things that all the people are worried about. I'll take care of you. You just seek the kingdom of God. You just seek God, and God will add all of these things that you need to you. But how many times are we worried about, man, what are we going to eat tomorrow? Man, my clothes, what am I going to wear? Man, my shoes are wearing out. I need some shoes. We worry about these things, but we don't have to worry about these things when we seek God with the whole heart. Praise God. And of course, this one last one, Hebrews 11:6, which is one of our favorites. We all know this. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Here we say God is rewarder. So the benefits of seeking God with a whole heart is you'll find him. You'll rejoice. You will prosper. You shall not lack any good thing. You're blessed. He's good to you, and he shall add to you whatever you need, and he will reward you. That's what comes with seeking God with a whole heart. I'm still on point one, but also to get God's favor on your life. It's just not just seeking him. It's just all these things, all these 5 points. But you have to seek God by meditating on his word day and night. Meditating on his word day and night. Joshua 1:9, we all know that's 1:8. This book, which is the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Here he goes again. See, this is, we're talking about God's favor. And then you will have good success. You will succeed. You will succeed in all that you do. That's part of Psalms 1. Blessed the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor, this is probably King James, stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it, he meditates day and night. What is he going to be like? Like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. And look at this. Whatever they do will prosper. Huh. Whatever I do is going to prosper. Man, I found God. I rejoice. I'm blessed. I prosper. I won't lack anything good. And whatever I put my hands to do, it's going to prosper. God is more than enough. He's more than enough. Praise God. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, what does that mean? That means, well, imagine a tree in a desert. It's lacking. It's frail. And it's gonna die. But a tree by the streams of water is moist. It's fruitful. It's putting out the fruit that it needs to put out. It's never gonna lack anything. You see, isn't that wonderful? 1 Timothy 4:13-15. I put the scriptures on here because I got a lot of scriptures and I didn't want to, you know, hold you guys up by flipping. And go ahead and flip to it. But if you need to, you can write it down and then look over it when you get home. But I like this one. Let me see. It says 1 Timothy 4:13-15. Till I come, give attention to reading. He's talking about the word of God. To exhortation, to doctrine, not to neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. That means everybody's going to see your progress. And I'm like, wow, man, look at Joe or look at Cynthia. They have grown so much in God. It's just evident. Can't you just see? Wow. God, man, Susie, God has really used you mightily. Because you meditate on the word of God and the gifts also that you have, you don't just kick them aside and like, I'm not going to use my gifts because I really don't know what to do with myself. So I'll just no. But the gifts that you have, you're like, you know, God, how can I use this gift? Let me think about, Lord, how would this gift please you? How do you want me to use this gift? Doctrine. Rightly dividing the word of God, understanding the word of God. Give yourself diligently to these things and your progress will be evident to all. Wow. That's having God's favor on your life. Also, we can seek God by desiring an ear to hear. Hear God's voice. Being still in waiting in God's presence. This is one that many of us in the body, we lack because like I say, we sometimes can pray half an hour, 45 minutes, even an hour, but we neglect to be still in God's presence to hear what he wants to say. And it's almost like we think, well, he doesn't have anything to say. He's probably said it all because we've read it in his word and that's it. But even though we have read what God says in his word, we need to sit and listen in his presence and hear him say it to us. Because when in prayer, God says something to you, it's amazing how much your confidence rises. It's amazing how that measure of faith that we all have arises. That's sitting in God's presence. No matter how hard the storms may blow, no matter how far in debt you may be, no matter how things look like tomorrow, your lights are going to be shut off, your gas is going to be shut off, you're not going to have any food. When you sit in God's presence, because you're a child of God, and just wait and listen to what he has to say. When you hear him speak, you won't worry about none of those things, because when God speaks, he settles the issue. Harold testified last week about how we needed a certain amount to pay our mortgage. We were 3 months, almost three. I don't know how many months behind we were. We've been there before. God always delivers us out of it. And, you know, he got a certain amount of money, and it wasn't enough to pay the whole bill. It wasn't enough. And after tithes and offerings, it wasn't enough. And we're going to pay our tithes and offerings, because the word says in Psalms that, you know, pay your vow to the Lord, and then when you get in trouble, call on him and he will deliver you. So we're like, okay, we don't want no trouble on that side. So after tithes and offerings, there's only enough to, you know, maybe pay 2.5 months. But we've been trying to catch up for about 3 years. And I've been praying. I said, God, I know your favor's on my life. So God, what's the holdup? What's taking so long? Is it something? Did I say something that offended you? I talked to God. You know, perhaps I did something that offended you. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Reveal it to me. Change it in me. Maybe it's something I'm doing that I don't see. Can you reveal it to me and then give me the power by your spirit to stop doing it? Because I don't want any trouble. And so he said when he called the mortgage company to talk to them and say, well, you know, I got this amount a month, they had said that we had qualified for this, what do you call it, honey? Remodification program, which we thought was just a fake. Because every time we sent papers to them, it wasn't enough. And we like, this is just a stall. So we didn't believe it. But it turned out that we didn't have to pay the amount that we had. We could pay a lesser amount. And for the next 2 or 3 months, we just have to make a payment. And that means we had a little extra money left over. Now, our cars were broke down. Brother Eli, he knows, none of our cars worked. Every Saturday, we had to go rent a car or a van just to get to church and bring all the stuff to church. It's like, wow. I was walking a lot. I walked to the gym, which is probably about a mile or two. You know, I'm not that old where I can't walk. And as I was walking, I was not walking saying, man, God, why isn't our car working? What have we done? I look at all these cars driving along. I said, God, I just thank you that I'm able to walk. I thank you for the time when our cars was working. And I know you're going to work it out. So I just praise you anyhow. And our car, the Range Rover that's sitting out there, it had been messed up for what? About 6 months. And before that, it was messed up for about 6 months. So it hasn't, for like the 2 years, it hasn't really been working. It would work for about a couple of weeks and then it would stop. And we thought it was going to cost $2,500 to $3,000 to get it fixed. And we had that money to get it fixed. So Harold says, let's put it in the shop. And I'm like, oh man, we done put a lot of money into this car. But maybe this is what we need, because the other car, it's shot. Michael told us that it's not going to work, so we're not going to. And then they said to fix it, it would be like $1,500. Well, we only paid $1,500 for it in the first place, so we're not going to put that money back into it. We put the car in the shop.
I think it was the next day they called and said, the car's done. It's only $400. $400? You know what I'm saying? I said, that's a miracle. That's a miracle from God. Because we were hoping, I was praying, God, don't let it be over $1,600. I pray like that. $400. It just wiped me out. I'm like, God, you're awesome. You're awesome, God. Let me get back to the message. That was a detour. So by hearing God's voice, Isaiah 28:23, and then we're going to go to Psalms 46:10, just so that you can write it down or be prepared to go there. Isaiah 28:23 says, give ear and hear my voice. Listen to God. He wants us to hear him. Listen and hear my speech. In Psalms 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And we were still concerning that car. And when they said it was only $400, Harold hurried up. I think he caught the bus from work and went over to West Seattle where it was. God was definitely exalted. He was lifted up on high. We were just giving him praise. And the next day I had to say, God, I just want to take the time to thank you. I really appreciate you fixing that car. And I just don't know how it happened, but that doesn't matter. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Now we're going to go to Psalms 25:5 and Psalms 59:9, which says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Sometimes we have to wait all day. You've been in that place? You've been in that place where I remember I wanted to see God. Well, not God. I wanted to see Jesus because I had heard in the Old Testament no one has seen God and lived. So I didn't understand it. So I'm like, okay, I want to see Jesus. I want to see some angels. And all night long I waited. I went in, we put the kids to bed and I went in the room upstairs. In this little house I had, it was just full of the presence of God. And I waited. And I wasn't just sitting there waiting. I was praying. I said, God, I'm not coming for anything special. Everything is fine. But I just want something extra special with you. I want to see you. I want you to do something mighty in my life. I want to, even if you show me your angels, and I know I'm going to be afraid, but that's okay. I'm willing to take the risk anyhow. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel more than your presence. I want to reach out and touch you. I know people in the Bible have seen angels, and my mom, she sees angels a lot. And I'm like, and I want to see something. And all night long, I waited and I prayed and I sought after God. And you know what? I didn't see anything, but it transformed my life. Just by waiting in his presence, it transformed my life because while I was in his presence, he was going into my future and solidifying it. Meaning that he had already called Anna's Faye to be this and that, but the enemy was trying to block me from this and that which he had called me to be. And I couldn't see in the future. But what God was doing, he was quickening my understanding. He was giving me a greater appetite, a greater boldness for him. I didn't realize it. But within the next couple of months and even years, I can look back and I can say, I know where that came from. It came back from that day that I spent looking for God all night. I didn't see him, but that's okay. He saw me. Being in God's presence will transform and change your life. God, transform and change our lives even now while we're sitting in your presence, because none of us want to be the same. We get so sick and tired of our own self because we're so limited in our minds, the way we think, God, the way we do things. But God, transform us. What's to stop you from doing it right now? There's nothing too hard for you, God. Hallelujah. Psalms, let's skip down and go to Isaiah 30:18. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 30:18. And this is what it says. I like this. It says, therefore, the Lord will wait. Now it says, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And I looked it up in the NIV, and I like this, because when it says, therefore, the Lord will wait, I'm like, okay, what does it mean, the Lord will wait? And this is what it says in the NIV. It says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. That's what it says. He's waiting. He longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. Look here. We talked about seeking God with a whole heart. We talked about seeking God by meditating on his word night and day. And now we're talking about seeking God and desiring an ear to hear God. And you know what God is saying? We're trying to develop an ear to hear God. But more than we want to hear God, God longs for us to hear him. He longs for us. He wants us. He loves us. He's waiting to do good things for us. He's just waiting for us to reach out to him. That's a good God. Praise God. Let me see what else I have here. Point number two, to have God's favor in your life is trust God. And we're going to go to Proverbs 3:1-6. And after that, we will go to 2 Samuel 22:3 and 2 Samuel 22:31. I had to read. I was going to read the part where it just says, you know, don't, you know, trust in God, don't rely on your own understanding, but I wanted to get the whole part of that. And it says in Proverbs 3:1, my son or my daughter, do not forget my law. Don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now, first he says, length of days and long life. Huh. Now, listen, length of days. I was like, well, what's the difference between length of days and long life? But this is just what dropped into me just now. You know, when God is adding good things to you, when your day is a good and great day, it's great when that day is a long day, isn't it? Bad days, we want to just lay down and go to sleep and let it be over. But good days, oh, let good days just last. Man, it's 8:00 in the morning. Man, I thought it was 12 o'clock, but it's only 10 o'clock. Oh, God is good. Oh, man, it's 3:00. I thought it would be 6:00, but I'm enjoying this day so much because God is a good God. He's adding so much to me. Long days. Plus, long life. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write on them the tablets of your heart. And so find, he said it, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You see, when you have God's favor on your life, it's just not with God. Of course, that's enough. But God gives you favor with man too. Wow. With favor with man. That's favor. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. There's so much blessing in here. He will direct your paths. You will have his grace, his mercy, his truth, long length of days and long life. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22:3. The God of my strength. Now he's got you strong because of his favor. In whom I will trust. My shield. Now he's my shield. First, I'm strong. He's my shield. And the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. My refuge. My savior. You saved me from violence. You know, I noticed something here. That I say to Harold, you know, our cars have broken down a lot. But the blessing of God, the favor is that when they break down, it's never on the freeway. I don't understand it. I mean, I think only one time something happened, Harold's tire blew out on the freeway. It's only one time. And our cars is broken down probably, you know, 30 times or so like that. We'll get a flat tire or something, but it won't be on the freeway. And it's like we're always able to make it home. When we make it home and we get in the garage and we get out and then, look, the tire is going flat. Let's call Sam's. Maybe we can get there and get a new tire before it goes all the way down. That's God's favor. Because just because you have God's favor don't mean that things is not going to happen. In order for you to see God's favor on your life, things have to happen so you can see how he's going to bring you out of it with such joy and with such peace. So you can like, wow, look what God has done. Isn't he awesome? Let's go to, I like this, Psalms 56:11. That's one of my memory verses again. I got about 100 of them. I like to, as a young folk say, spit the word in my brain so I think the word. And it says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Listen, that's some boldness right there. In God have I put my trust. What can man do to me? What can they do to me? Man can't do nothing to me. Why? Because in God is my trust. And because God is my trust, he's my shield. He's my stronghold. He's my fortress. Hallelujah. I don't have to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? I like that one. Praise God. All right. Now, this is last one. 1 Timothy 6:17. The last one on trusting God. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He's not talking about sinners who are rich. He's talking about Christians who are rich. There's rich Christians. It's okay. But he's telling them, don't trust in that. But put your trust in the living God. Why would he tell a sinner who's rich to put his trust in the living God? They don't even believe in God. He's talking about Christians who are wealthy and who are rich. Put your trust in the living God. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And it's not only the rich, it's us. We trust in God. He gives us all things richly. We will enjoy things. You got some things in your house and they're just laying over there not doing anything, and you know, you don't know what to do with it, but you have it. Someone gave it to you, or somebody blessed you with it, you know. And you don't want to give it away because someone has given it to you, but not only that, you like it. You might not use it much. It's extra. See, when you're rich, you have extra. You know, people in their house, they got treadmills and stuff like that, and you know, they ride it maybe once every year, but they don't want to get rid of it, maybe for until it gets old. They're blessed to have that. Once a year, they're able to enjoy that. But at least they have it. And there's other people who have to walk on the streets when it's rain and it's cold. We like to walk on the streets when it's nice weather, but when it's raining, cold, and in the snow, have you ever tried to walk, get exercise when it's snowing? It's really hard. It's hard to run in the snow. I tried it. I was sick for a while, and I needed to exercise every day. I needed to sweat and get a workout. And we were snowed in around my house. I couldn't get to the gym. And my treadmill had broken. Yes, it broke. And so, but I needed exercise because I had eaten, and I'm like, I need this food to digest. And I'm like, man, I need to run. And I have a bike, but that wasn't good enough. So I went out there and I tried to run in the snow. It didn't work out very good. It didn't work out very good. But God blessed me, you know, to be able to get a pass to the gym, and I still have one. I richly enjoy going to the gym. I have a bike, a new bike at home. I can ride it, or I can go to the gym, or I can do both. Rich, I can enjoy these things because of God's favor. The third point is to have God's favor in your life. Pursue righteousness. And we're going to go to Proverbs 12:2. Then we're going to go to Matthew 5:6 and Psalms 11:7. Proverbs 12:2, Matthew 5:6, Psalms 11:7. Now Proverbs 12:2 says, oh, I like this. A good man or a woman obtains favor from the Lord. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. It just tells you right there, a good man is going to have God's favor on his life. Because why? He pursues righteousness. That's why he called him good. Abraham was good because he had faith. He pursued God. I don't know if I have it in here. I think I typed it. But you remember Enoch in the Bible? He walked with God. Enoch walked with God and he didn't even die. Wow. You know, it's appointed for everybody to die. But because Enoch walked with God, God just took him. God loved Enoch. God delighted in him. And he just says, Enoch, just come on up here to heaven with me. Don't even go through the dying process. Just come up here and be with me. Because Enoch delighted himself in God and he walked with God. I guess that's kind of like what God intended us to do, Harold, in the Garden of Eden, just to walk with him. We would have never had to die if we just walked with God. Let's just walk with God. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How many like right things? How many like to be righteous? Now, see here in this world, we're born into sin and we see so much wickedness. We see so much lies and deceit. We experience so much sin and so much evil that to pursue righteousness sometimes it's kind of like, well, how do we do that? How do we pursue righteousness? And how is it that God is all righteous and all good when this world is so evil and so ugly? And you know, in order for our minds to get a grasp on that, we've got to read the word. We've got to stay in God's presence. We've got to pursue righteousness. We've got to want to be right. When all of our friends and, you know, make fun of us, they say, oh, they're, you know, our friends used to say, oh, Harold, they liked us, but they're really holy. They said that when we were young. But whenever they needed somebody to pray, they would always call Harold and Annis, because they said, Harold and Annis, they're close to God. When they pray, things happen, you know. And so it was just kind of funny to us. And even today, we'll see people who haven't seen us in 20 years. Oh, I knew you guys were going to be pastors and ministers, because back in the day, you guys were just so powerful in God. The way the life that you were living, you guys were so holy. A friend, she'll say, we'll see her every once in a while. She'll say, Harold and Annis, you guys were just so holy. That's how she talked. Back in the day in Rainier Temple, you guys were just so holy. We just knew you were going to be powerful. And we just laugh. Now, Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 11:18. Proverbs 11:18. I'm skipping some because of time. The wicked man does deceptive work. You guys have seen people who do deceptive work. They don't want to do their job, so they cheat and they do all these different things. And you just look at them. But he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. I remember my mom talking about that. I don't know if she read a scripture. I don't know if I was a little baby, but a sure reward. Maybe it was a song, but a sure. When you pursue righteousness, you're going to get a sure reward. And sometimes when we're at a job or when we're someplace around other people who cheat and they get away with things, we think about, well, maybe we should take that too. They take, you know, all these pens and pencils. They don't need them. You know, oh, I'll take this. And we're like, you want some? And sometimes we think, well, maybe we do, but nah, we say no. Why? Because we want to be right. Because we know that God sees what we're doing. But God has a reward, and I would always say that God has a payday. God has a payday. You got to wait for his payday sometimes, a long time. But when he pays good. I tell you, nobody can pay you better than God. I know that. God pays good. We've had all kind of things happen as Harold's attorney with cases. Some cases we would just, you know, it would be taken from us unjustly, because the law system is set up to be righteous, but there's not always righteous lawyers and judges, and they do different things. I know Brother Philip understands that too. And sometimes we'd have a case that we knew we would win it, but we didn't win it. And we were counting on that to maybe pay our bills, and we would lose it. And we would be just disgusted. And we were like, how could that happen? It's no way. But it might be a year or 2 years later, Harold will maybe have another case. And we think, well, I don't know, it's not a good case. And it would turn out we would win, and win pretty big. We're like, wow. God always pays back. Sometimes when he would take a cut in his pay so that the client could have exactly what they wanted, because they'd cry, I wanted more money. And Harold would take a cut. And sometimes I'd get upset because he had me, which is a dependent, and four kids. We have to eat. We have to have food. And he's taking a cut in pay, and we're not going to be able to take care of the things that we had planned to take care. He's always been a generous man like that. And sometimes I'd be a little upset. Why I say a little? Because I love the generosity that's in him. And it wouldn't be long. Something would turn around and God would work out so that he would get more from some other case than he had planned. God pays good. When he pays good. What was that? Proverbs. Let's do Proverbs 21:21. How about that? He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. And I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 6:11 and Psalms 37:23 and 24 really, really quick. You don't have to turn to these. And it says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. It also says in Psalms 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. You know, I want God to be pleased with me. I don't want him to I don't want to get into heaven. He said, yeah, you know, come on in because, you know, you're saved, but you could have did better. You could have done better. I want him to say, ah, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. You accomplished all that I planned you to accomplish. You have pleased me. If I can just please God, that would make my life. It won't make it, you know, instead of make my day. If I could please God, that would make my life. And then I like, let's see, which one is this? Oh, I didn't finish that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Also in another part of Psalms, Psalms 145:14, this is a memory verse. It says, he who is bowed down, the Lord will raise him up. When sometimes when things happen and you just, you know, you humble yourself. Know that when you humble yourself before God, maybe a situation has happened and you had to humble yourself. Know that God is going to raise you up again. That's part of having God's favor on our life. Let's the fourth point is be quick to surrender and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's a hard one. Because sometimes, you know, we know the Lord is saying something to us and we don't want to do it. Oh. The Lord may say something like, well, you know, I want you to go and I want you to speak to that lady on your job who purposely is trying to get you fired, who purposely is very deceptive and spread lies and rumors on you. I want you to go and I want you to be kind and nice to that person. Oh, God, I'd rather just ask you to let them get fired. Let them get out of my way. But God will tell you something like, I want you to go and be kind to that person. Being quick to obey the Holy Spirit. If you're quick to obey the Holy Spirit, you'll find God's favor on your life. Don't wait. Once you know it's the Holy Spirit, don't wait. Act. Don't drag your feet, but be quick. I understand that because many times I've been mad at Harold. And the Lord would say, forgive him. Forgive him? I'm about ready to knock him out. I am so mad. He don't know I come from the Jackson side. Get that Jackson side from Texas rising up on me. I could take this man out. And the Lord said, forgive him. And I'd be so mad. I'd be crying and I'd walk. I go walking and I'd be, God, you want me to forgive him, but you don't understand. He's in the wrong. And he won't listen. If he would just listen, he could tell that he's in the wrong. And the big deal is not that he's in the wrong. He just won't listen. And I'm mad. He's mad at me. And man, God said, forgive him. I don't want to forgive him, God, because he needs to know. I know he needs to know that I will not accept that. And God says, forgive him. Okay, God, I'll forgive him. And I go home right away. Now, I didn't always go to him because I knew he would always come to me. Because he's gracious like that. He'll come say, I'm sorry, Annis, I shouldn't have done that. And I'll say, I forgive you. And then all of a sudden, I kind of forget what we were fighting about. Now, not in the early stages of our marriage, because I held on to a grudge. I'm going to get you back. It might be today, tomorrow, it might be next week, but I'm going to get you back. But when I learn to forgive, the quicker I forget the offense I'm like, wow, that's kind of like a miracle. You know, I forgive you. What was it we were fighting about anyway? Oh, it was probably some small thing. So being quick to surrender and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Job 5:17, and then we're...
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.